Lead us by your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us to draw closer and closer to you. We honor you. We honor you. Jesus, this is all about you. This church, our ministries, our lives even, all about you. So we worship you this morning and we honor you. We open your word, Lord, with awe and reverence. We ask that you'll speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please go ahead and take a seat. Thank you, musicians. You guys are awesome. Oh, can you grab me that paper? Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 13. Hallelujah. Allow him to speak to you this morning. Allow him to minister his love and his grace to you this morning. We've been singing about it. We live in it. And this morning I've got such a message on my heart that I want to bring to you. It's in John chapter 30, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses and then we're going to look at it together. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and that he was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing now, you do not understand, but you will know after this." And Peter said to him, "Lord, you will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Hallelujah. In verses 1 and 2, it says supper was ended. They were getting ready to take the Passover meal, but this was indeed going to be the last Passover meal that needed to be taken for the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of sin, because the Lamb of God was getting ready to lay down his life. At the Passover, usually they would slaughter up to 200,000 little lambs in the temple in Jerusalem, and the brook Kidron would run red with the blood that ran out from the pipes in the temple. And here, not far from there, Jesus is up in the room with his disciples. And the Bible says the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. And Jesus knew that. And in this atmosphere of tension, Jesus knew everything that was going to happen to him. And he knew that everything in the world was going to change in the most dramatic way. So the Bible says he laid aside his garments. John, I'm not going to take them all off. Laid aside his garments and he girded himself with a towel. Now you know why I was wearing these funny clothes this morning. I want you to get it this morning. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords took on the job of the lowest slave in the house. And he went to his disciples and he started to wash their feet. And one by one, he's going down the line of his disciples and he's washing their feet. In what was perhaps the most important night in history, when the Son of God was about to yield up his life, totally defeating Satan and the kingdom of darkness, taking away the sin of the world, He took off his clothes and put a towel around his waist and washed dirty feet. What was he doing? Why didn't he lead the disciples in a powerful prayer meeting? Why didn't he sit them all down and teach them about how to overcome Satan and the kingdom of darkness? Well, you see, what he was doing was demonstrating for them how to overcome the kingdom of darkness in the most powerful way. You see, it's through humility. It's through service. It's through laying down our lives. That's why we do what we do in this church. It's why it's growing and spreading. All we want is the heart of Jesus. We sang about that. I'm covered by his grace. And the world needs that message. In the book of Romans, it says, all creation is groaning, waiting for the revealing of the sons and the daughters of God. Well, so many church people and people who call themselves Christians are being revealed in all the wrong ways. In legalism and judgmentalism, criticizing people, putting people down. And Jesus, on that night where he was going to be arrested, that night where Judas was going to betray him, that night where he was going to be flogged, he put a towel around his waist. Of all of the things that he could have done on that last night, he put a towel around his waist and he knelt down and he started to wash feet. In verse 6, Peter was amazed that Jesus would humble himself to wash his feet. They all knew. They all knew that it was the job of the lowest servant usually in the house to wash the feet of the visitors as they came in. Because in those days, all the roads were dusty. People didn't wear stockman boots or enclosed shoes. They wore sandals or they went barefoot. So when they arrived at somebody's house, their feet were usually dirty, covered in dust. So the lowest slave, the lowest servant of the house was given the job when the people came into the house to wash their feet. And Jesus said, what I've done to you, you need to do for each other. And Peter's watching this. He's watching Jesus coming down the line, washing the feet of the disciples. And in verse 6, he came to Simon Peter. So he's working his way down the line. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus said, what I'm doing, you don't understand now, but you will know after this. So it's kind of like he gave Peter two opportunities, you know. Peter's sitting there, you can imagine. Peter's sitting there and he's watching Jesus. You know what? Jesus washed Judas' feet too. He's watching Jesus come down the line, washing their feet. And then Jesus gets to Peter and Peter says, what? You're going to wash my feet? And Jesus said, you don't understand at the moment, but you will understand. And then Peter said, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. You see, the world is full of people. Churches are full of people who want to do it themselves. People who try to say, I'm all right. I can make myself right with God. I'm okay. I don't need, like Peter saying, I don't need you to wash my feet. And it's a tragedy. People think they can be made right with God by their own works, by their flesh, or by the works of the law, not realizing that we're all dirty. And whether we admit it or not, every one of us needs Jesus to wash away the filthiness of our lives. We've got to humble ourselves. Come on. Only Jesus can wash us and make us clean. We've got to rest in his grace and his love and allow him to take the dirtiest parts of us, of our past, of our present, and hold us and lovingly wash it all away. And we can't do it ourselves. We've got to allow him to do it. See, Peter's saying, no. You don't have to wash my feet. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus had already told him he wasn't going to understand. But Peter's still trying to understand and work it out. And he loved Jesus. Hey, no, don't ever take that away from him. He honored and revered Jesus. He loved him. He just didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. But you see, unless you and I recognize
that if he doesn't wash us, then we remain dirty. No matter how we might try to clean ourselves up and clean our act up and get our lives together, at best, it'll be short-lived. We've got to allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come and to wash us and to cover us with his grace. To cover us with his grace. And you harden your heart at your own peril. You see, it's too easy. It's too like the Aussie male, you know, to, oh, I'm all right, Jack. I can do it myself, you know. But Jesus is saying, no, 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 you can't. You can't. You need me to wash you. And I pray that every single one of us will get that revelation that no matter how good we may appear, we need Jesus to wash us. No matter how we may think we've got it kind of together, we desperately need him to wash us. Not just once, but continually. When David sinned with Bathsheba, look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. You see, David had sinned. David's relationship with God was more important to him than anything else. But he had fallen, he had sinned. Even after everything God had done, after the anointing that Samuel had done, after him defeating Goliath, after him becoming the greatest king Israel had ever had. The Bible says, actually, if you read it, that when the soldiers went off to war, when they went off to do their fighting against the enemies, David remained at home and he was idle and he was at home and he was thinking that he was really something. And then when he saw Uriah the Hittite's wife bathing on another rooftop not far away, her name was Bathsheba, and he's up there just taking in the night air, and he saw this lady over there and she's bathing and he started to lust after her and he fell in sin. Not only did he fall in the sin of adultery, but he arranged for her husband to be murdered in the battle. And then it came to pass, as you know, that he was confronted by Nathan the prophet. And David, I'm sure his heart was never far away from repentance because he loved God so much. And the conviction of his sin must have been so heavy upon him. And in that atmosphere, in that heart, he wrote Psalm 51. And if you read it, I'm just going to read the first two verses. David recognizes that he's damaged his relationship with God. And he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And then he says in verse 2, wash me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And he's crying out to God, knowing that he needs to be washed. This is King David. Knowing that he needs to be washed, he knows that he sinned terribly. And in these verses, we can see the process. David said, my sin is ever before me. It was eating him up. You can try to act like there's nothing wrong. You can try to act like, well, I'm cool, brother. You know, I don't need Jesus to wash me. But it's eating you up inside because you know that your life isn't really, really right with God. You can hide it from me, you can hide it from your husband or your wife, but you can't hide it from him. And he's not wanting to judge you. He's not wanting to send you to hell. He's not wanting to beat you over the head because he died to pay the price for all of your sin. He died. He died. He humbled himself. The Bible says he submitted himself to sinful men who killed him to pay the price for your sin and my sin. So the last thing we want to do is try to hide it because he knows about it anyway. And all he's wanting to do is to wash us. All he's wanting to do is to have us come to him. And Peter's sitting there going, no, 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 you'll never wash my feet. Jimmy, just take your shoes and socks off and come up here. I want to use one of our brothers as an example today. You and I may not have committed adultery or murder, but the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? So David recognized, if we read those verses, he recognized that what he needed to do was to acknowledge his sin, to call on the mercy of God, and then to ask God to wash him. And it's not difficult. The difficult part is God getting a hold of our hearts so that we will allow him to do that. Thanks, mate. Every one of us needs a thorough washing from Jesus. Yesterday we had the honor to baptize Rachel. Oh, wasn't it wonderful? We went down to Freshwater Creek, and she'll be here tonight. She can't come this morning, but that's the girl that was healed of cancer 2 weeks ago. Completely healed of stomach cancer, terminal stomach cancer. And she saw us during the week, and she said, "Something's missing in my life." That's what she said to me. "I feel like something's missing. I just need to get baptized." And you see, that water baptism is a picture of that same washing, you know? Water baptism really, listen, water baptism is really only an outward expression of what's already happened on the inside, all right? He's already forgiven your sin. He's already made provision for you to be part of the family of God. Water baptism doesn't save you, but water baptism is a physical representation of what's already taken place on the inside. It's something on the outside that reveals what's happened on the inside, you see. And as we baptized Rachel yesterday, and she'll be here tonight, she said, "When I went down into the water, I was feeling kind of bound up," she said, "didn't she? I was feeling kind of..." And she said, "But when I came up out of the water, it was like it was all taken away. It was all washed away." You see, water baptism is just a picture of what Jesus wants to do in your heart. Water baptism is a symbol. It's a picture of that washing that Jesus does. You see, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 that we were buried with him in baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised to the newness of life by the glory of the Father, that's how we should walk. We should walk in that newness of life. But you see, there's no resurrection without a death. There's no resurrection without a crucifixion. You don't come up out of the water without having already gone under the water. And what God is wanting to do for all of us is to bring us to the point where we recognize, "Lord, I need you. I need you." Be honest with God this morning. "I need you. I know that I've sinned. And Jesus, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you that you died on the cross for me to make me clean so that I can be washed." Peter said to Jesus, "You'll never wash my feet." And then in the second part of verse 8, Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Wow. Jesus said to Peter, "If I don't wash you," in the New Living Translation, "you don't belong to me." Now, Peter might have done all sorts of fabulous stuff before then. He might have been the leader of the disciples. He might have been a guy who understood the word of God. He might have been a guy who had so much potential, like so many people in this room, like so many people in churches and out in the community all over the world. But Jesus says, "If I don't wash you, you don't belong to me." Because it takes humility on our part. It's not up to us. You see, Jesus approaches each one of us, overflowing with his love and his grace. And he's prepared to take the dirtiest parts of us. Come on. Their feet were the dirtiest parts of them. They'd walk through the dust and the mud or whatever they had to walk through, and here they are in that room. Oh. And Lord Jesus is getting down, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's getting down on his knees. And he's got a towel around his waist. On the night that he was betrayed, the night that he was going to defeat Satan forever. And what did he choose to do? He chose to grab the feet, dirty feet, and wash them. And you know what he's saying to you right now? He's saying, "Give me the dirtiest part of your life. Give me the part of your life that nobody knows about. Give me the part of your life that you and I know is there. Don't you try to hide it." He says, "Give it to me. Just give it to me." You see, he didn't wash their hands. He didn't wash their face. He washed the dirtiest part of them so that he could say to you and to me, "I'm not put off by how dirty your feet are. I'm not put off by the situations in your life. If you'll allow me to, I'll come and I'll hold those situations with you, and I'll wash them, and you will be clean. And you can't do anything about it other than submit and yield to him. You see, all we got to do is just rest in his presence. Peter's saying, no, it's all right, I can do it. You don't have to wash my feet. You see, Jesus saying, no. If you don't let me do this, you don't belong to me. Because I'm prepared to take the dirtiest part of you. I'm prepared to take the thing that causes you shame. And I'm going to wash it and I'm going to take it away. I'm going to get rid of it for you forever. All you got to do is rest in my presence. We can try to deny our dirtiness, or we can even attempt to clean ourselves up, but without the touch of Christ, it will not happen, and we'll remain in our sin. If we don't allow him to wash us, we cannot belong to him. And how can we belong to him anyway if we're still clinging to our sins and our dirtiness? Just let it go. Come on, let it go. Receive his cleansing touch. Let him wash you. Sit back and relax, because it's not about you anyway. Just, I'm going to offend somebody. Just shut up and let him wash you. Stop with all the religious stuff. Stop with all the, I'm all right, Jack. Just, pigeon, we say, pass him mouse. Shut up. Sit down. Put your dirty, stinky, they're not dirty. Put your dirty, stinky feet up. Can you see what's happening? He just wants you to sit back. He's done all the work. He's paid the price. He's already shed his blood. And now he just says, come on, give it to me. Because if you don't, you can't belong to me anyway. If you don't, you're going to stay in your dirtiness and in your own sin. Because you can't fix this yourself. All right? You see, Peter was thinking that he was okay, that he could do it by himself. Just relax and let him wash you. You see, he's not talking about washing feet, is he? He's talking about our lives. When he said to Peter, unless I wash you, you don't belong to me. He wasn't saying because you got some dust between your toes. He's talking about the fact that the Christ, the living Christ, comes to us. He takes hold of the dirtiest parts of us, and he's not intimidated or put off or offended by it. And he washes us. He washes us. And when he washes us, we are completely and totally made clean. But you see, what he washes us with is his blood. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, it talks about Jesus. It said, who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So when Jesus knelt in front of Peter and took hold of his foot, he wasn't talking about washing feet. He was talking about the blood that would be shed. He was talking about preparing Peter to be a member of the kingdom of God and the family of God in a way that nobody else can take away. He was pointing towards that blood that would be shed, that washing that enables Jimmy and me and you to be right into the family of God, to come into the Holy of Holies. You see, when the priests went into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, the Bible says they had to go through all kinds of washings. They had to wash themselves and wash themselves again and wash themselves again. They had to wash their clothes in a special way. Why? So that they would be clean enough to come into the Holy of Holies and minister to the Lord at the Ark of the Covenant. Well, you see, we don't do that anymore because Jesus does this. And you know what? When Jesus does this, it's cleaner than any washing the Old Testament priests could have gone to have gone into the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain was torn in half, the Bible says. Why did God do that? Why would he just tear that thing in half? Because that was the barrier between man and God. That was the thing that kept people out of the Holy of Holies. And God reached down from heaven and tore that great big heavy curtain in half, opening the way into the Holy of Holies. But you don't get there without the washing. You don't get there without the blood of the Lamb. That's how we're washed. That's how we're made clean. You don't have to do with the bronze laver and all the stuff the guys in the Old Testament had to do. That's just a picture of this. That's a shadow. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that all these things are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is Christ. Those Old Testament practices, they're a shadow. The shadow looks a bit like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. The shadow is just a shadow. But we've got to stop looking at the shadow and start looking at the substance. What's throwing the shadow? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. And he wants to wash you this morning. He wants to take those dirtiest parts of you and he wants to save you. He wants to wash you like you've never been so clean before. In Isaiah 53, verse 5 and 6, verse 12, and verse 12 says, he was numbered with the transgressors and he bore the sins of many. He was numbered with the sinners so that he could make you clean. He died in your place so that you can live in his place. He came from heaven to the earth so that you can go from earth to heaven. That's what it's all about. The most important washing any of us will ever receive is with the blood of Jesus. He lived without sin so that he could die for us and pay the price for all of our sin. Please allow him to wash you today. Allow him to wash you. Don't be like Peter. Don't harden your heart. Peter probably thought he was doing the right thing, you know. He probably thought, well, you know, I don't want Jesus to have to do it. Listen, we've got to sit back and relax and let him do it. We've got to humble ourselves and recognize that no matter how gifted or strong or how much we know about the Word of God, whatever it might be, unless he washes us, we don't belong to him. Because you see, it's nothing to do with all of those things are all important. But the crux of the matter, the foundation of everything, is Jesus washing us and making us clean. And he washes us by his blood. Not just once, but the washing goes on. The washing continues all our lives. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of all sin. That word there is cleanses, not cleansed. Because we need ongoing cleansing. You need it and I need it. I don't always get it right. You don't always get it right. But you see, that washing is not just a one-time event. He goes on washing us. He goes on washing us. And when we make a mess of it, when we slip and fall, when we fail, when we sin, all we got to do is sit back and relax and say, Lord, wash me. Can you see that? Are you getting that picture? That's all we got to do. He does all the work. But without you yielding to him and submitting to him, he doesn't have access to it. Got to lift up our feet. Yes, Lord. Lord, my life's pretty grubby, Lord. I got some things that I'm a bit embarrassed about, Lord. But I don't want to have to deal with it myself. And Jesus says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I'll give you rest and I'll take away all of the rubbish, all the filth out of your life. Never allow your sin or your failures to drive you away from God. We can keep coming back to him because the blood of Jesus never loses its power. There's no sin, no backsliding more powerful than the blood of Jesus to wash us clean. Come on. Nothing you can do. No sin, no backsliding, no rotten thing that you've done. It didn't matter how dirty Peter's feet were. Jesus was going to wash him anyway. It doesn't matter. Never be like Peter and say, no, I can do it myself. That's a deception from the devil. But the beautiful end of the story is that when Peter said, "No, no, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And then Jesus said to him, because, you know, like he said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Come on, Peter. Jesus, the Father has revealed that to you. Come on, Peter. On this rock, we're going to build the church." You know, I mean, he had a real destiny for Peter. And so here's Peter going, "No, no, no." You know, but maybe he's doing it in his own flesh. Maybe he's thinking, "Well, I'm the leader. You know, maybe he can wash all their feet, but he doesn't really need to wash mine." And Jesus said, "No, it's not like that. If I don't wash you," and this, everybody's watching, right? He's probably come down the line and he's probably washed James and John and some of the other guys. And then he comes to Peter, the boss. Peter says, "Nah, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, then you don't belong to me." And what did Peter say? "Oh, Lord, in that case, not just my feet, but my hands and my head too." Hallelujah. That's got to be our attitude, huh? "Come on, Lord, I'm going to bring it all to you." We've got to bring it all to Jesus. That no matter what, allow him to wash you today. When Peter realized that he couldn't be a disciple unless Jesus washed him, when he realized that he couldn't belong to Jesus unless he washed him, he said, "Okay then, don't just wash my feet." He went from saying, "Don't wash my feet," to saying, "Wash everything. Wash my feet and my hands and my head." You can sit down, mate, thank you. And for all of us today, I want to invite you to allow the Lord to wash you in his blood, to wash you by his Spirit. He loves you more than you could ever, ever, ever imagine. And he's made a provision for you. He's made the way for you. It doesn't matter how dirty you are. It doesn't matter how dirty your feet are or your life is or what your past is like. Allow him to wash you. Peter said, "Lord, wash my feet." And we need to ask Jesus this morning to wash our feet so that we'll go where he wants us to go. And that we'll stay away from people and places that only bring heartbreak and death. And we'll yield our hands to him. Allow him to wash our hands so that we'll do good. And that we won't allow our talents or our abilities to be used for Satan's purposes. And then allow him to wash our head so that our minds and our thought processes produce what's positive and honoring to God and helpful to those around us. I want the musicians to come, please. This morning, my brothers and sisters, I just wish that we could all understand, yeah, all the musicians, that we could all understand how much he really, really loves us. And that he's not put off by the yuckiness of your secrets. He just wants to make you clean and make you whole. He just wants to love you. He just wants to make it all right. But he said, "If I don't wash you, you're going to remain in your sin. If I don't wash you, you can't belong to me." As soon as Peter got that revelation, he said, "Well, Lord, not just my feet. Wash it all. My hands and my head. Come on, Lord." Because that was what he wanted. That was the kind of guy that he was. What's in your heart this morning? What's going on? Are you hiding things from God? Are you living some kind of double life? You know, often we can come to church and look like an angel on Sunday and then look like the devil on Monday, you know. We can do stuff that we have no right doing. And all Jesus wants to do is not to judge you. Because all the judgment fell on him. All of the judgment was placed on Jesus so that you and I can be washed and clean. Father, we thank you this morning. That, Lord, it's as simple as relaxing and allowing you to do it. It's as simple as letting you take the dirtiest parts of us and wash us. Because you already paid the price. You already paid the price to wash us and to make us clean. So, Lord, we don't want to hold back anymore. We don't want to hold back on you. We don't want to try to clean ourselves up because we can never do that. We can try to do our best and we can try to you know, just stir ourselves up and stop doing this and stop doing that and start doing this. But Lord, unless you touch us, unless it's the touch of Christ, it's not going to last very long. So Lord, we come to you now and ask that you will wash us and make us clean. Help us to bring our dirtiness to you this morning so that we can be made whole and so that we can belong to you. In Jesus' name. I want everybody to stand up this morning, please. I want everyone to stand. And I'm going to open up the altar as Janet and the team lead us in worship. You can respond to the Lord right there in your chair. You can respond. You can just lift up your hands and you can just pray however you want to pray. But bring it to him. Don't sit there like Peter and say, no, you're not going to wash me. Jesus was going to hold his feet. It was going to be close and personal. And he was going to take that cloth and that basin of water and he was going to wash Peter's dirty feet. You know, it's harder, if you've ever been part of a foot washing, it's harder to have your feet washed than it is to wash somebody else's feet, isn't it? Because it's just like having someone else do it for you. Someone else wash your feet, but that's what he wants to do. He wants us to put down our pride. He wants us to put down our pretenses, our Christian games, and just say, Lord, I need you to wash me. You come. Come on, the altar's open. You come. If you need the Lord to wash you this morning, you can pray where you are. If you need salvation this morning, come on, don't dilly-dally. You need Jesus to wash you this morning, you come. You need Jesus to make you new again, you come. Come on, don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Don't hide. Just come. Just come. I want all the prayer team to come, please. Just come. And as you come to the front, just start to tell him why you're here. Come right to the front. Tell him why you're here. Tell him why you're here. Tell him, tell him. Tell him what you want to get rid of. Tell him how you want to be unburdened. Oh, Lord Jesus, we give you glory and praise. We give you glory and praise. We honor you, Lord. If you've got sickness in your body, you come. This is the miracle place. Come on here. Heaps of you are thinking about what I said and you're still trying to work it out. Well, just like Peter had to do, just sit back and relax and let him do it. And that's really where it comes to. Come on, brother. Just sit back and let him do it. Let him wash you. Let him wash you. Because if he doesn't wash you, you stay dirty. No matter how you might try to clean up your own life, it won't work. Thank you, Lord. You come. You come. Come on, get it right with God this morning. You can respond to him right there. Come on, just don't run upstairs or go outside. Just, we all contribute to this atmosphere of the power of the Holy Spirit. So just come this morning. Just come this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Come right to the front. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, everybody, let's just worship now. If you want to come to the front, keep coming. This is not a show. Just start to worship. Worship, worship, worship.
Grace, powerful grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Grace, powerful grace.